This is the Blackwatch Report, the ultimate Path to Pro podcast, covering news around the scene, breaking down key matches, and interviewing your favorite players, coaches, and personalities from contenders and Open Division. Now, here are your hosts, Thorn Rain and Kyle Wynn.
And welcome back for another episode of the Blackwatch Report. I'm your host, Thorn Rain, and with me as always, my co-host, Mr. Kyle Wynn. How are you doing tonight, Kyle?
Fantastic. We've got some, did some troubleshooting of all of our audio stuff, and just took,
you know, audio issues,
25 minutes, yeah. But now we're good. We're flying. Yeah, chilling.
We are good, and we are one away from the big 5-0, sir. We are on episode 49. The Blackwatch bump does it again. Yeah, we're sending everybody up. Overwatch League, yeah. Watch out for us. Well, not us, the people we talk to. So how was your week? Anything interesting going on?
Besides playing just dozens of games of Apex Legends, which was super fun. I actually played for like 4 or 5 hours on Sunday after helping my parents move for like 6 hours. So Sunday night I was exhausted, but it was super duper fun. I don't know. I think that was literally about it. That's all I've done so far. It's just play and watch a little bit of Overwatch, and oh my god, 2 more days! Day after tomorrow. It's happening. So I'm excited for OWL to start. And then we have the issue of trying to watch Contenders games and Overwatch League games at the same time, plus playing Apex, plus I have a job, and plus I also am working on a game in my free time, so...
Yeah.
Oh man, it's gonna get... get busy.
I'm feeling you on that, because if they do it like they did last year, Overwatch League is now on 4 days a week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, mm-hmm. and Sunday, which means we have Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday that Contenders is probably going to be played on.
With that, we might have to switch our schedule again, but we will see as it comes up.
Yep. That's going to be a rough one. Hopefully they stop shuffling Contenders schedules around.
They will never.
No, never, never. They just hate us. Basically did the same thing. Played a ton of Apex. Good God, is that game addicting. Other than that, not much. Like, watched a little bit of Contenders. This week was weird because there's literally the last game of day 3 happening right, well, not happening right now. The VOD is being shown right now. So unable to watch the games live this past weekend other than Friday night. So schedules are a little off. Other than that, man, just tons and tons of Apex. But moving us right along, no new iTunes reviews, no new Twitch or YouTube follows, because one, I'm a slacker on the YouTube front. I really need to get on that. So that's going to roll us right down into the news. As always, our news is brought to you by our Patreon. You can head over to patreon.com/blackwatchreport, become a Patreon, and officially sponsor our news segment. This week's segment is going to be sponsored by none other than Mr. Shrugoff. So thank you, Shrugoff, for your sponsorship. And Kyle, take us away.
So we are starting off with some kind of a bigger, we'll get into more of it later. But basically, we have some more news on the contender season for 2019. We'll kind of break it down a little bit more in main discussion.
Yes, there's interesting stuff happening down there. But this week's NA Contenders Trials were, as I said earlier, not able to be aired live for Saturday and Sunday's matches. They were actually rebroadcasted Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, and then today at 9 a.m. Pacific, due to the community days happening. So, you know, no contenders aired whenever an Overwatch League event is going on. Just ask Blevins and Chanman V about their Twitch chat and Free DeFran hashtags everywhere. It was insane last but that is it for our scene news. Let's roll right down into the roster news here.
So we talked about it last week. I think we had the great merger of base tryhards, and I think it was LFT OWL, the two kind of biggest South American teams at the moment. And it seems like the remainder, those who did not get brought over to the new team on base tryhard, so Dudu, Lubbock, Sesh, Neil, and Wings are disbanding the team of base tryhards. So it seems like it's kind of the end of a pretty big era here.
Yeah, definitely. So moving us over to the EU side of things, Bazooka Puppies are no more. Well, at least the name isn't, because they're going the same way that like half of NA contenders went, and they're rebranding themselves. They're going to be named Side Effects now, and currently only retaining three of their previous members. So we have Frost, Spox, Jonah, Bogar, and Bomb as the manager coming in. And then the three returning members are going to be Sab, Kahev, and Met, returning from the Bazooka Puppies to help flush out that roster there.
More roster moves here. We have the opposite of a Blackwatch Report bump here is Gods has announced his free agency as well as Far on the roster. So Gladiators Legion is now down to four players, and Dalton, Pinker, Pooks, and Rolf, and Pinker is on that two-way contract. But as we've kind of speculated in the past, it doesn't seem like much is going to happen from that. So it's likely that maybe the two of these Gods and Far go to whatever this new academy team is, or maybe they drop down into playing with one of the new trials teams once they do reshuffling coming into contenders. I'm not sure really, but hopefully if something good comes of this.
I mean, don't be surprised if we see them on Sky Foxes.
Yeah, that's true.
But a little more roster news here. This is back over in the EU. Young and Beautiful announcing their roster. With only Danny returning, everyone else here is new. We have Kafi, Flippy, Crandop, Honey, Evoki, and Young Savage all joining the Young and Beautiful roster. So, complete shuffle on their roster.
So, this is an interesting thing, and it kind of leads into the next bit after. But, unfortunately, Team Windstrike has officially released its roster, and the roster is renamed to CAS Hope yet again, and that is the roster of Kenzie, Unfixed, Chow, Sherrick, Aang, Main, and Lika as their coach, or Ilka. This was a pretty big roster of mostly Russian and Commonwealth of Independent States, which is the former Soviet Union area. Basically, every good player from that area who's not Shadowburn is on this team, and now they're disbanded, or at least dropped, and then I guess you can talk about how they disbanded.
And then after this week's of competition, their record is sitting at a 1-2, and they have decided to just completely disband CIS Hope, and then they're going to forfeit their remaining matches for trials. So we went from, you know, Windstrike competing, dropping the team reforming CIS Hope, to them saying it's not even worth it anymore. Hopefully we don't see a trend in more of the teams like leaving. I'd really hate to see any of these guys, you know, up and announce their retirement from Overwatch. It just all happened so fast, like literally between a day and a half, we got one announcement and then the next. So best of luck to all of them.
Yeah. And then now we finally get some dang good news here. Okay. It didn't seem like good news. It seemed like really bad news at first, because horrible. It started out with Dogman announcing on his Twitter that he's no longer with Atlanta Academy. He said, I'm LFT, CAD OWL. Thank you for Atlanta Academy for giving me a great home, and best of luck to the next season. And then everyone's like, oh my god, Dogman, no! And then like 20 minutes later, the Atlanta Rain posted a video of him, and he's now on the team, in the team house, and officially part of the Atlanta Rain. So another player that was on Blackwatch profiles has officially gotten the call up. I don't even know if he's two-way. I think he's just like straight up on the roster. They would have
straight up on the roster. Yeah, everything that's been announced is 100% Atlanta Rain.
So that was like a full call up, not even a half call up like Elk or Panker got. So big ups to the guy. Excited to see what happens. I'm excited to see that bowl cut stage too.
Yes. It's interesting.
But yeah, that's I'm pretty hyped for that.
So then we've got a little bit of news for our NA's contenders team. First Generation is going to cease as a brand. They're no longer going to exist in 2019. That's because they're now Second Generation. And the crazy thing is as soon as they announced this, IO Stux put out a tweet saying it would be super cool if every year they went first gen, second gen, third gen, and changed their color scheme, kept the same logo, but just, you know, altered it. And then it literally happened. So either he knew something was happening.
He posted was like from months ago or like weeks
ago.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it was.
So he called it like a long time ago.
That is right. Yeah. So that was cool to see. Have a little bit of news here. We don't know a roster yet, but they started announcing their staff. So Reckless is going to become the team owner. Dismi has been announced as the team manager. Coach Sabo and B-Man Who are going to be their analysts, with Pizza Penguin being their performance coach. Calyun is going to stay on as the head coach. And then Ibe Crazy and Tuck Tuck are going to be strategic coaches. Not 100% sure what a strategic coach is, but it looks like they're taking this really, really serious and trying to get a full-fledged staff here. So, congratulations to Second Generation. Can't wait to watch the now purple team compete in this season of Contenders.
Should be exciting. And these next couple ones are ones that I think we kind of knew about, but now they're kind of official.
Mm-hmm.
From Second Wind is the departure of Sit, Maid, and Haku. Sit the DPS, Haku the support, and Maid the guest that we had on, and also head coach of the team, announced as departing. So now the remaining Second Wind roster is Rina, Mirror, Fried Wiener, Akawa, and Deponzer. We're not sure what's happening, but it seems very likely that a lot of teams here are going to have some players lost to the next big up and coming academy team. That is this weird shadowy enigma of a team that we don't know anything about, other than it's likely that it's going to be a thing. We have no idea who's behind it, which OWL team is, it's actually the academy team for, but we just kind of have heard that it is one NA team, and it's just this weird
everything's so secretive.
Yeah, exactly.
So another call up here. Well, not a call up, but Hurry Shot was just announced to be leaving. It's down in the news somewhere else. Left his team over in EU, and he is now going to be the strategic coach for Mayhem Academy. And then joining him is going to be Wub, signing on as a new DPS for the Academy. So congratulations to Wub finding a home after his short stint in who was that with Second Generation? No, Sky Foxes. Everyone was maybe on Sky Foxes. I forget.
That's true. Just, guess what team was he on? I don't know. Sky Foxes? It's probably right.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So yeah, that was an interesting thing. I believe Wub and Mengachu are both support or both flex DPS players, which is interesting to see as well. And then they have Shaq still as hit scan, as well as Apply, who's two-wayed. So it's shaping up to be an interesting team, Mayhem Academy. I think they might actually do slightly better, but we've said that every season this far. So yeah. I'm gonna withhold judgment until we get into our power rankings in like a couple of weeks here.
Yep. And real quick, he came over from Mirage after they separated. That was the last team he played on.
So then we have another team that we've had a player on is Shoes Money Crew EU. Finalized his roster in Mouse, who was on the show. And then Zeal, Polly, Barbecue, 9130. Hate that name. JK, Lull, 21. Price Beer, Slur, and Gustav all on the team here. And I think they're going into trials. Actually, we're going to talk about that after this anyway. So,
yep. And then Square One also lost a player. They did announce that Shadows was going to be leaving the team. And then they wished him best of luck in his future endeavors. And apparently he is a New York native.
Yeah, so when our Discord posted that after the announcement came out that he was like a New York native, and then there's another one next after, and so we're seeing maybe this could be a possibility that XL2 is actually still sticking with the New York thing, and they're like, not sure what to do. I don't know.
At least they're not pulling like random ladder players, and they're getting people that are actually competing at like a high level, so.
Yeah. But then the other player we're getting is Moopy, who was on like 9,000 different teams here.
Yep.
Has officially left Phase 2, and he was the also apparent New York native. And by the way, these are not definitive. I don't know these for sure. I've just heard one person in our Discord, and I have no idea who they are, but they said New York native, and so I'm inclined to kind of believe that. But the problem with Tier 2 and Tier 3 stuff is there's like so little information on most of these players that it's so impossible to fact check. Like their Twitter has nothing, their Liquipedia has nothing. So it's just kind of rough to know whether or not this is a thing. But we're gonna, just going to sit here and speculate because that's what like half of this dang show is.
And then if we're right, we're the first ones to you know, announce it. So it's timestamped. It's all on video. So it's fine. But we talked a little bit about Mirage. Mirage, the whole team left. They formed Bermuda after Open Division. Now they're doing phenomenal in Contender Trials right now. But Mirage is going to step back into Overwatch just for a little while. I don't think this is a permanent thing. They put together a team for LAN ETS, which is the largest LAN party in Canada. I saw all kinds of tweets about it. There was just constant esports going on up at this thing. It was huge. It was in the convention center. But the roster they put together to compete up there was Shep, Burbo, Akita, Keller, Chain, and Icy. Currently, nobody knows where Chain has went. So I don't know if Mirage is actually keeping this team together, but I'm pretty sure Icy plays on someone that's already in Contenders.
Yeah. By the way, so I just heard from Maid, who is in another Discord I'm in, says apparently New York XL2 is really good and has like not only good local talent, but also good outside of NY talent as well. So he says not memeing as well. So I don't know about the XL2 thing, but maybe they're actually a good team. Maybe he's on there now. Maybe he's one of the coaches. I don't know. I'm curious to see where he falls in all of this and where XL2 falls in all of this.
Well, and see, now here's the thing. If Maid has seen XL2, that means that whoever he's tied to
on a team
is scrimming XL2, because that would be the only way that he would get the information. Is either he's on the team, or he's the coach of a team,
or he's watching scrims. Like he'd kind of need to be like in the scene, I guess. Like he'd need to be on a team to be able to see scrims and get this an idea. So I don't know. This is curious. It's interesting.
That's the speculation continues.
Yeah. And so now let's talk real quick about one point. We have Emil and Latex joining. That is the roster with Horthic, Fat, and Scalar on as well. They're still missing a DPS player here, it looks like. So yep. I think we're going to get one or two more additions here in the near future.
And then, like I said, this isn't that one. Orgulous and Hungry have announced their newest roster after losing 6 members. So we see Polly and then Latex and Emil leaving, along with Kanga, Dark Zero, and Roy V. Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. So their new roster is going to be Berglund, Kagasi, Henninsen. I screwed that up last time I had to say it. Leodeds, Watto, Tang, Dumbros and Sindustries all coming in to wrap up the Orgulous and Hungry. But that is going to wrap up our news section. So we've got a quick word from our sponsor.
Break away from your normal energy and go rogue. Head over to the rogueenergy.com and use promo code BlackWatchReport at checkout for 10% off of your purchase.
And there was nothing coming in for this week in Overwatch, which is going to take us right down into the quick play. So we're going to wrap up Contenders Trials NA, starting with day three. We see Chicken Contendies going up against Sky Foxes, and Sky Foxes just absolutely wreck the Contendies. Which is interesting because Contendies, or Chicken Contendies, were looking like they were going to be one of the strongest teams. They were up there in the undefeated sector with Square One and Sky Foxes just slapped them down. So, Kyle, start us off here.
Yeah, let's break it down here because this was a match that I really wanted to see because, as you mentioned, these were two really, really good teams. And it seems interesting that, like, I would have put this match going 3-1 or 2-3 or whatever. But we saw, starting off in Nepal here, Sky Foxes took the 2-0. We saw that Buds on the McCree, whenever he can run the McCree, he will run it, and it always will find value. So it's really like, if you want to win against Sky Foxes, just pick maps where McCree is non-viable. And so then I was on Sanctum, and then with Pharah on Village, run by Attitude, it just looked absolutely nuts. Harbaloo gets a grab. This is you, right? Yes, your note.
Yeah. So it was interesting because the Sky Foxes were looking absolutely dominant. Harbaloo hits this grav, gets everyone. They clean up the whole team. They get a team kill. And who comes in and saves the day? Buds on Sombra. Drops an EMP, hits all six members, and then the Sky Foxes get a team wipe. And that was at 99%. So as soon as they flipped a point, there was no one getting back to it. We kind of see a trend with Buds here. Harbaloo looked pretty good playing through on the Zarya, but man, it's really difficult to stop anything when your whole team gets shut down with an EMP.
Yep. Then moving on into King's Row here, it's a little bit closer with a 4-3. I'm still going in favor of Sky Foxes. So here's where we kind of see things going a little bit more in favor of Contendies, because this is just a pure goats v goats. There's no room for McCree, not really room for Pharah here. And Contendies are kind of a one-trick team, it looks like. They very well could have other things, but like in terms of their main strength, they have not shown anything other than goats look like good. So Sky Foxes with Buds on the Somber, and then I can't remember their Anna's name, but he's a sick Anna from Korea on Team Stormquake. The hack and anti-nades were absolutely dismantling Contendies. I think if you can get the hack onto the D.Va and then throw an anti-nade, or even just a hack onto the Rein and just catch the D.Va off guard, the anti-nade will just really rip apart the team here.
And then there was a moment where the Chicken Contendies had pushed all the way up to spawn after the Sky Foxes had gotten the payload unlocked, and they were sitting like up on that balcony where you can look down into the hotel or look directly into spawn, which forced the Sky Foxes to go through the hotel. Well, tight spot, you know, figure it's a choke point. The Chicken Contendies should have the advantage because they have the high ground. They're able to make their move on their pace. Well, they go in and Clone Man gets a massive shatter. Just shatters everybody. They clean up the team, but there's a quick moment where the camera actually flips to the payload. And Mac was already just chilling on the payload all by himself, back capping the payload with no one around him. So, two little cool plays there, you know, Mac making it out without being caught, and then just Clone Man doing his thing with the shatter, man. It was a nasty shatter in the hallway.
Yeah, and then so moving on into Volskaya, this is where Sky Foxes took a 3-2 here. Buds is kind of stepping up a little bit more on the Sombra here. Gets basically big EMPs every fight, or at least every time he gets it up. There's like very few EMPs that we've seen this particular matchup that were not finding high value.
Mm-hmm. And then even without the EMP, to close out the overtime round, the Chicken Contendies were holding defense up on the top, I guess, left side, where there's like the small health pack is down in the room below. So Buds goes in Viz, comes up behind him, and actually draws away the attention of the Reinhardt and both of the supports long enough for the rest of the Sky Foxes to come up the steps and actually get picks on both of the supports. And I know they got three big picks in the hallway, but it all started with Buds just going in and doing a little bit of poke damage, just enough to where they had to turn around and actually pay attention to him. So they came in from both sides. Buds showing that they can outclass him, you know, even without the ultimates. Sky Fox is just looking absolutely like flawless right now. Like, it's crazy how good they're playing.
Yeah, and we'll kind of see that finalized here on Rialto with the 4-3, but that'll kind of do it for our first breakdown match, and then I guess I can go down with the rest of the matches of this day. We saw Square One take the 3-1 victory over Phase 2. Then we saw Triumph fall to Underwater Squad 3-1, and then lastly, closing out the day, we saw Bermuda take they didn't get the second one. They got the first win of the day here against Paradigm with a 3-1.
And then for day 4, we see Chicken Contendies going up against Phase 2. Chicken Contendies wins that. They're not here. Let me pull up these.
Yeah, this was something that like showed up last night, so it was kind of late to see.
Yeah.
With them, I might be able to pull it up. Let's see. So this was Chicken Contendies versus Phase 2?
Yes.
It was Chicken Contendies 4-0 over Phase 2. Then next was Paradigm 3-1 over Triumph. Square One got the 4-0 over Underwater Squad, who was pretty much out, it looks like, at this point. Then Sky Foxes got the 3-2 against Bermuda, which we'll talk about right now.
So we see the first map was Busan. That goes the way of Bermuda 2-0. You've got a note here, Kyle?
Yeah, so this is something that I wanted to note. Previously against the fight against Chicken Contendies, we saw that, like, if they got the anti-nade off, and I got to figure out who this player is because I need to... Oh, Lastro, that's who it was. So if Lastro got off the anti-nade against Chicken Contendies, it completely dismantled the team. But Bermuda was doing a little bit better. I think it was with their Lucio play. And that once they got an anti, you speed out and kind of let the anti-nade wear off and not try to push in or not try to do anything else. Just kind of let the effect wear off. And then they didn't get as dismantled. They that's how they got the win here against Sky Foxes on Busan with the 2-0. But then moving on into Blizzard World is where they came up 2-0 with the 4-3, taking it with one of the interesting things. This was even on like one of my little highlight videos that I've seen. Is that FaZe got like a nano boost on the Zarya and just like melted four people. And it was just him and the D.Va. Him and the Lucio on point to cap out third, which was really, really cool to see from Sky Foxes. But unfortunately, it was not quite enough. And then moving on into Volskaya is where Sky Fox has turned things around here. Oh, man. It's just like starting this off, this map looked rough. It was super duper one-sided. Sky Foxes end round one with a 5-minute time bank. And then on Bermuda's attack, they don't even get a tick. Not even a single freaking tick on A.
And
this was really one-sided.
And something to note here is... Busan and Blizzard World going the way of Bermuda. Clone Man was in playing the Reinhardt for those two maps. We see iRemix come in on Volskaya, and things start to turn around. So just them having the ability to have two main tanks, one that plays more aggressive and one that plays a little more reserved, with Remix being the more aggressive of the two. If they notice an issue, they can switch up their play style by dropping in one of those two main tanks. Both of their main tanks, phenomenal players. So going into Route 66, Remix stays in. This goes the way of Sky Fox's 3-2. And then your notes here, Mr. Kyle Wynn.
Yeah, so with Route 66, this is where we kind of saw Buds. It's very feast or famine here, and this was a little bit of a famine up until they hit the third point here on the Sombra. It was really just kind of letting Bermuda push just uncontested throughout most of the first half of the map, and really then he kind of started getting some good key hacks here. The fight turned around to be able to give the full to give the stop, not the full complete here, allowing Skyfoxes on their attack to come back around and cap it out with a very clear win condition. And then I guess lastly to close it out here on Ilios was the tiebreaker. Skyfoxes took with a 2-1, and here we saw I think it's Shu, but it looks like Shua, because there's an H here. By the way, I wanted to go on a rant here real quick about how many dang Shus there are in Overwatch. There's Shu, the support player, who's now on Guangzhou. There's Shu, the coach, who's I think was Shock. There's Shu's Money Crew NA and EU. There's this player Shu. There's Chu as well for Team Envy. We gotta get some more team some name originality here, but yeah. So Shu had some really sick diva bombs here. Two really good ones on Well.
And then just going back to iRemix and his aggressiveness, so many just massive shatters. How do I put it? In Day 3's matches, Clone Man was phenomenal for his series, when they played, you know, Chicken Contendies. And that's not a small thing, because Chicken Contendies is considered one of the best teams. And then to come into Bermuda and have such a difficult time being able to maintain that level of play, and then them switching over to Remix, just Remix came in and he flipped the switch and just was constantly in the front line's face, swinging that hammer, you know, just dropping shatters left and right. Definitely watching the two different types of play styles here made a huge, huge difference for the Sky Foxes. And I can't, next week, well, no, this week, like 3 days from now, we get to see Square One go up against Sky Foxes, and that is going to be an absolute banger of a match. I can't wait to watch. I hope Remix plays that one, because that's going to be just an all-out brawl between.
Yeah, and then to close it off with Day 5, which just premiered this morning, technically, we have Underwater Squad. Actually, I should pull up, because we don't even have the actual results yet, because they're just finished this morning. So let's go in right now. Underwater Squad falling to phase 2 with a 3-2, so it was close, but I think, yeah, this is another win. I think they have one more game, but they're like as good as gone.
And that's phase 2's first win of trials, so.
So, phase 2 are not looking hot this season. Then we saw a close 3-2 with Bermuda and Chicken Contendies, which will break down pretty quick here. On Ilios, we saw Shu get, really this whole series, we saw Shu just eat all of Harblue's grabs. He got one on Lighthouse, one on Well for Ilios, which gave, even still, I guess Chicken Contendies still got the 2-0, so it didn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. But then in Blizzard World, where Bermuda took the 3-1, ate another grav, and Harblue just straight threw away a Graviton when his team was dead, and he got no one with it, and it was just kind of wasted. So, kind of sloppy work here. Volskaya, Chicken Contendies bring it back an extra round here. They look way more coordinated. Salty gets a good D.Va bomb. Able to give Chicken Contendies the win there. Route 66 back to Bermuda. They got the really aggro defense here, almost full holds continues and making them really work for like every single meter of cart progress. They almost got full held at their door like twice. And then finally, Nepal, which is the tiebreaker. And this was a really close. This was a 99-99 tiebreaker in the third round here. Bermuda was able to clutch it out, giving them the win here. And that will take us to Square One versus Paradigm, which Square One took the 4-0. And then Sky Foxes with the 4-0 over Triumph. So now we will drop down into reading off some results here, or not results, standings. If you want to take the first couple.
We have our first two teams officially locked in, and that is none other than Square One and Sky Foxes, both of them sitting at a 5-0 record. One of them will suffer their first defeat on February 16th, just coming up this Saturday. So Square One is sitting at 5-0 with an 18-1-1 plus 17 map differential. Sky Foxes is sitting at a close 15 plus 15 map differential right behind them for that first place spot. Chicken Contendies and Bermuda are both tied with a 3-2, except the Contendies are sitting at a slightly better map differential with a plus 3, while Bermuda has a plus 1. And then wrapping out the top 5, we have Underwater Squad sitting with a not very impressive 1-4, 7-0-14, minus 7 on their map differential. So they're just barely hanging on. So who are the teams, or how are the teams looking that could potentially steal that spot away from Underwater Squad?
So Phase 2 is right below them with a minus 8, so only one map differential away here. It looks like it's possible for them to take it. Paradigm, I mean, really every single one of these, if they get one win and Underwater Squad doesn't, it comes down to literally one, this absolute final match. Paradigm and Triumph are behind them with a minus 10 and minus 11. So, like, looking into it real quick, so we have
two more matches left.
Yes, we have two more matches, and so, I mean, I think, yeah, so looking at, like, strength of schedule with Underwater Squad, Phase 2, Paradigm, and Triumph, Phase 2 plays Bermuda, who's pretty good. Triumph plays Chicken Contendies. Paradigm and Underwater Squad could be interesting. Triumph isn't looking super hot.
Looks like Triumph.
Underwater Squad faces Sky Foxes.
It really looks like Triumph is 100% out. They've got Chicken Contendies in Bermuda.
Yeah.
That's two of the better teams. Paradigm versus Underwater Squad. One of those two are going to get a win. Like,
yeah.
So which one takes it there?
So here's a little quick thing. It's like looking at the score line here, right? You've got 5-0, 5-0, 3-2, 3-2, and then you've got four teams which are 1-4. Unfortunately, five teams are advancing, not four, which is going to be weird because you're going to enter in with a team coming into contenders with who won literally one or two maps or matches against another team. With like a negative score record, which does feel weird to me. Like, I wish there would have been another Academy team, because seeing a team come in here with like a really not good record, like we saw teams come in undefeated in trials, then come into contenders and get wrecked. Like, imagine what's going to happen with a team that was not even positive map differential or score line here. They're going to get decimated by Fusion University and Atlanta Academy and all these incredible teams. I think, like, in terms of maybe we do want to narrow down the amount of teams we bring in here, because, like, in terms of I just hate seeing the 0-20 games, you know, or the 0-20 seasons for teams. It makes it seem less competitive. I mean, it is less competitive. And kind of diminishes the abilities at this point.
And looking at the numbers, our best bet, or our best chance of having a team not have an absolutely horrible scoreline is Paradigm, because they're facing off against Underwater Squad, and then phase two. So they're literally facing off against one of or two of the other bottom teams. So there's a chance that they win both of those matches, which would then put them at a 3-4. It's still, you know, not a winning record. But then they would be at a -2 map differential if they or Odom. Both teams. Do I see that happening? No. Not even remotely close.
Yeah.
So no matter how you slice this, this fifth team is literally going in, not playing for playoffs, not playing for championships. They're playing for map money at this point.
Have one of their players have their name be big enough to get picked up by an academy team at this point, it seems like.
Because it's going to be rough for any one of these four teams could end up in that fifth spot. And then they'll be back in trials here in the middle of Overwatch League. Like, it's going to get rough.
But and then...
Oh, I was going to say, that wraps us up. Yep.
Yeah. Let's move on into Korea here. I wanted to try to focus this next season of Contenders. I really, really, really want to not just do all NA stuff, because as we saw with his last batch of Overwatch League pickups and signings, we should probably pay attention to Korea a little bit, because they're getting like 80% or 70% of all the players signed here. So if we want the focus to be on, you know, focusing on who's going to come to OWL next, let's maybe try to get some KR games here. So let's look at trials here for Korea. We have actually everything is all finalized and ready to go here, which is good to see. We see Geekstar and WGS Armament take the officially locked in to Contenders next season. Geekstar with a 6-1 plus 17 and WGS with a 6-1 plus 12 differential. And then below them, not making it, unfortunately, is the former Kangdu team, now known as Team Griffin, with a 5-2.
That's what they get for changing their name to Team Griffin.
Exactly. And then, unfortunately, MetaAthena is out as well. MetaAthena is, I believe, the team that WhoAreYou was loaned out to.
Yep.
They're officially out and gone, playing back in Open Division. And then if you want to take the next four.
The next four are Blossom, BM Hawk, Talon Esports, and then White Whale Incheon Esports. Now, like, looking at this list, every one of these teams other than White Whale, we've reported on doing great things in Contenders.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just now been relegated to Open Division. You got Kangdu Panthera, Team Griffin, whatever you want to call them, MetaAthena, Blossom, BM Hawk, Talon Esports. These are all phenomenal teams, and they're not going to get to play in Contenders.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's absolutely crazy to me. And the score lines for Korean trials look so much better. 6-1, 6-1, 5-2, 4-3, 3-4, 3-4. And then you get your 1-6 and your 0-7. But, like, this was an actual battle over in the Korean contender scene.
Right. And you had like actually really, really sick players just not even make it out. Like looking real quick, like on Team Griffin, you've got Selly and Kalios. On Team Griffin, you've got Hoon, Recry, WhoAreYou, just on MetaAthena. And like neither of those teams made it in, which is super interesting to see. So we'll kind of maybe see a couple of these matches coming into Contenders here. But now EU is another team or another region where we only have two teams coming in here. So NA has five teams coming in from trials, Korea only two, and EU only two as well. So looking at the top here, we have Shoes Money Crew EU with a 4-0 plus 10 differential, Young and Beautiful with a 3-0, so they still have to play one match, or two more matches, whereas Shoes Money Crew has one match to play. They're both looking pretty good, whereas Out of My Game, Novus Ordo Sectlorium, my god, what a name, they're both at 3-1 and 2-1 respectively, with a plus 6 and a plus 5, if you want to take those next four.
And then we have HSL Esports coming in with a 2-2. With a plus 3 map differential. And then the new look, Orglis and Hungry, sitting at a 1-3, minus 4 on their map differential. So that's going to be a huge thing to overcome if they win. If they're able to win out, the map differential might bite them in the back end. And then the former Bazooka Puppies, now Side Effects, are sitting at 0-3 with a minus 10. And then at the bottom of the barrel, CIS Hopeless, forfeiting the rest of their season with a 1-6 minus 18 map differential. Sorry, had to, you put hope in your name, and if you mess up, I'm giving you the Hopeless. I'm sorry. So, I mean, it's definitely looking like it's going to be out of Choose Money Crew, Young and Beautiful, out of my game. I forget who they used to be. Are looking like the stronger ones. Novus Ordo Seclorum, you know, sitting at the 2-1. They have one more matchup. Let's see, that's 3. So yeah, maybe feels like somebody has something. Oh, you know what? I wonder. Has to do with something with CIS Hope, because some of these score lines might be slightly off, because Side Effect should have a win because of the CIS Hope.
Yeah, that was. I think maybe because they're not scheduled to play just yet, yeah, which is the problem. So
they might not have gotten their score line updated for that.
It shows that I don't know what's happening with Liquipedia. Liquipedia has no idea what it's doing here. It says it's not like showing any more scheduled matches. Oh no, wait, no. Oh, it does. It just didn't show. I don't know, man. I just don't. It's just tripping out. So
yep.
Let's move on into the actual main discussion part here, real quick. And you, if you want to kind of take the reins on this.
Yeah. So as we mentioned in the scene news, there was an update about the 2019 Contender Series. Most of it was stuff that we already knew. How the regions were going down to smaller pools with 8 teams and, you know, all of that stuff. There's a couple things that we didn't know about. So, starting us off here, Contender Season 1 is going to take place during Overwatch League Stage 1 and 2. So, if we break this down, we know for a fact there's 5 weeks in a Contender Stage. So we're getting 2 full stages. There's also a break in between the stages that we believe... Mm-hmm. I can't remember. They announced that the breaks in between stages were going to be longer? For sure,
the break between stage 2 and 3 is going to be way, way longer. But
so even if it's just a week, that's 11 weeks of contenders.
I don't think it's... But they're still doing 5 weeks, though, right? Like, do you think they're switching up the schedule here?
We only get 2 seasons, so they said that we were going to get longer tournaments. Hmm. So, is it going to be like double elimination?
I feel like what they'll do is they'll... Because trial still has to be weak. I think they're going to start, like, kind of towards more the second half of stage 1. Is when contenders is going to start, and it's going to maybe end like before season or stage 2 ends. So it's kind of like shrunk a little bit, I think. I don't know if it's going to necessarily be the full 2 stages worth, because that's like 2 whole months. That's kind of a long time, whereas normally we get like a month and then some change.
Yeah, I do remember them saying that they would be longer seasons. If they mm-hmm. just stretch out the season over a longer period and we still get 5 matches, be a little disappointed. Like, at least give me some more matches.
Yeah, I do want to see more.
Let's see. No, it doesn't say. Oh, wait, regular season. That's 8 teams. These teams will compete in a round robin style tournament. Top 6 teams will advance. Nope, does not say. But that's interesting. So then, since Season one is happening during stages one and two. That means that season two is going to happen during three and four. Again, not completely sure how that's going to work out. But then, do you want to take the Atlantic and the Gauntlet announcements here?
Yeah, so the, like, kind of lining up perfectly now. So, like, one of the things we wanted to see is to have the schedules for contenders align a little bit better with the schedules for Overwatch League. And what do we get? Exactly that.
Yep.
So we're seeing that if there's going to be a big patch before stage three of Overwatch League, we'll probably get that for season two of Contenders and lining up kind of perfectly in that way. Also, we have the Pacific and Atlantic showdowns, which are going to run during the All-Star break after stage two. So again, like, things are kind of lining up here a little bit more. So we're hopefully going to get some more viewership here. I think they're probably going to do All-Star break one weekend, then Atlantic and Pacific showdowns the next two weekends or whatever. So we get kind of a bit of a share here of, well, I guess we're gonna have like a nice little break from Overwatch League that people are gonna be able to watch some contenders to kind of look at the number one teams coming in here from different regions in these divisions. And then lastly, after the Overwatch League playoffs and after all the season, as kind of the capstone for contenders events in 2019, is gonna be the Gauntlet. So it is interesting that we see it after the Overwatch League playoffs, so maybe it'll kind of be this, like, you know, last little remnants of people watching Overwatch League stuff will still want to get their fix and watch the Gauntlet here, which I think will be really, really interesting to see. But that'll be really, really late on, I think, like, September, October, November-ish.
I'm pulling it up right now. They have the official dates for the showdowns. So the Pacific Showdown is going to be May 24th through the 26th. The Atlantic Showdown is May 31st through June 2nd. And then the Gauntlet is going to run October 10th through the 13th. So we're going super late. This is what prompted us to believe that there might be something weird going on with the way that the World Cup is going to be going on. These dates mean that we're going to see competitive Overwatch, whether it's Overwatch League or Contenders, going almost up to BlizzCon, which is pretty insane if you think about
Overwatch, man.
Yeah, pretty insane if you think about the way that they used to do the World Cup. World Cup stuff started in, like, July. What are they going to do now since they're having, like, full-blown double elimination tournaments happening all the way up to October?
Mm-hmm. I think it'll be interesting to see.
Oh, yeah. So then the last little bit of news here coming out of that is the way the prizing is going to kind of break down. We don't have the official numbers yet. Hopefully we get those as soon as Trials wraps up. But what they said is prizing has been reallocated to more heavily reward top performing teams. Both the Atlantic and Pacific showdowns will include a U.S. $125,000 prize pool, and then the Gauntlet is going to have a $250,000 prize pool. So we had been, the community in a whole had been complaining about, you know, support tier two more, pay them more. Well, here goes $375,000 more going into tier two. Yes, it's only for the top tiers teams, but it's gotta work harder. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So it's good to see some of the things that people have been complaining about, like the scheduling and then the prize pools. It's all starting to come together. We just gotta give it time, and then hopefully everything can get flushed out and see this running as a well-oiled machine between Overwatch League and Contenders.
Mm-hmm.
But that's gonna wrap us up. You know, we ran a little late because of audio issues, but we're here. We are at the end of the show. So, Kyle, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me at the only two social media type of things I do, Twitter and Twitch, and that is Kyle the Winner, KyleTheWynner.
And you can find me over on Twitter, at ThornRain. As always, looking for those Twitch follows. We are an affiliate. So Twitch subs do help the show. All sub money goes in to help do giveaways and promote the show. So we do appreciate that. But if you want to help the show for free, just a little bit of your time, swing over to iTunes and leave us a review. We love reading reviews on the show. One star, five star, it doesn't matter. We read all of our reviews. But you can find the show on Twitter at Blackwatch Report. You can email the show, blackwatchreport@gmail.com, and you can follow the show on Twitch at twitch.tv/blackwatchreport. We record live Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern. Our intro music is an original piece by our very own Kyle Wynn. This has been a High Noon production. You can find all of our shows over at highnoonpodcast.com, and you can come and chat with all of the hosts on the Discord at highnoonpodcast.com. Discord.me/highnoonpodcast. Sorry about that. And with that, Blackwatch out.